Good afternoon. The June 24th regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. We're going to pause and proceed to the Pledge of Allegiance. Stand. To the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on the regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will then be followed by a presentation from the petitioner should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering at the time, members of the public that are in person must fill out a speaker card and give it to staff. If you are participating virtually, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of the allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be less than or equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, for those participating online, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature, or if in person, fill out the speaker card. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then address any additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. All right, I need a motion for approval of the agenda.
Cole's motion to approve the agenda.
All in favor, voice vote.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Notices, presentations, and acknowledgments. We did have a Finance Committee agenda meeting today. Would you like to share on that? Voted on the contract. Minor modification.
In the Finance Committee meeting today, we voted on a contract modification for the Executive Director.
All right, thank you. There are several items that are requested to be removed from the final agenda. The first one is 1800 East 63rd Street. It's a Flume Amendment from Conservation and Residential General to Residential General 2500-2852-ZA. Is there anyone here for 1800 East 63rd Street? All right. Our next agenda item is the map amendment for 1800 East 63rd Street, rezoning from RSF6 to RMF2. And if there was no one here before, I'm assuming there's no one is here for the map amendment either. All right, we have another one, 104, 108, and 114 Albion Street, special use permit for a place of worship. Is there anyone here to speak on that item? All right, we have Highlands Boulevard, New Hampstead Master Plan Amendment. Anyone here to speak on that one? And those are our items requested to be removed from the final agenda.
Cole's motion to remove items 2 through 5 from the final agenda.
All in favor? Okay. There were no items requested to be withdrawn. There are several items on the consent agenda, approval of the June 3rd, 2025 MPC meeting minutes. I'm going to take these one at a time. Can we do it as a whole? Yeah? Okay. Aspire at New Hampstead Phase 2, Major Subdivision 25002-2514, Sub P. Anyone here on that? Major Subdivision Parcel C8, Eastern Wharf Phase 5. Anyone in the public on that one? Major Subdivision Parcel C8, Eastern Wharf Phase 6. Major Subdivision Parcel C1B and C1C, Eastern Wharf Phase 7. Anybody here for Eastern Wharf? All right, and finally, a Major Subdivision Woodlands Village Villas at Southbridge Phase 1E. Is there anyone here to speak on that? All right.
Call motion to approve the consent agenda items 6 through 11.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Yes. Thank you for joining us, Chairman Ellis. We appreciate your being here. Regular business, we have 1214 East Victory Drive, variance to General Development Plan 25-002853-CA.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is Edward Morrow, the Director of Development Services here at the MPC. I'm going to speak to you first about two variances for development plans related to non-conforming subdivisions. The first is 1214 East Victory Drive, and these are variances related to minimum lot area and width in order to create a new single-family home subdivision. On your screen, you can see the zoning map and future land use map. This is within the RMF2 zoning district with a designation of 25 dwelling units per acre. And with regard to future land use, this is residential general. That's a category that's ideal for dwellings that are greater than 10 dwelling units per acre. So this is adjacent to Daffin Park, just to offer you some context, and you can see what the dwelling on the subject parcel looks like at present. There are five variances that are requested in association with this subdivision. The first being a reduction of the minimum lot area from 5,000 square feet to 2,600 square feet, reduction of the minimum lot width from 50 feet to 26 feet, a reduction of the minimum side setback from 5 feet to 3 feet, and an increase of the maximum building coverage permitted from 45% to 46.2%. Finally, with regard to the existing dwelling, this would be left with a non-conforming side setback of 3.5 feet, where a minimum of 5 feet are required. So four of those in relation to the new parcel to be created and dwelling that would be situated on it, and one related to the existing dwelling. On your screen, you can see the present configuration. There is a driveway to this parcel that is off of Victory Drive. And so the place where that driveway and this rear yard accessory structure is situated are essentially the area where this new parcel are proposed to be subdivided off. You can see the original home here built in or about 1935. And so you can see that several cars could be accommodated within this area. If this is approved, if the variances are approved, this would be the proposed elevation. You can see the new home here that is proposed to the right. This would leave about 6 feet, just over 6 feet between these two dwellings. And so this is the configuration of the parcel in the proposed subdivision. You can see the new home would be situated right here. And both of the driveways would be oriented to East 42nd Lane, which runs to the north at the rear of the subject property. And the area that currently acts as a driveway off of Victory Drive would be closed. So this is the new non-conforming parcel that would be created as a result of this subdivision. So again, there were five variances in association with this. MPC staff does recommend approval of four of those. The first, to reduce the minimum lot width required from 50 feet to 26 feet. The minimum lot area from 5,000 to 2,600, to give relief for the interior side setback to permit 3 feet where 5 feet is the minimum permitted, and finally relief for the interior side setback for the existing dwelling to permit 3.5 feet, where again 5 feet is ordinarily permitted Finally, staff recommends denial of the requested variance to exceed the 45% maximum lot coverage. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Is the applicant here? Would you like to speak?
Yes, ma'am.
Come up to the front and give us your name, please.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Andrew Futch. I'm the property owner at 1214 East Victory Drive.
Okay.
I'm Krista Futch.
And this is my wife. It's our dream to build this extra dwelling on our property, and we're willing to work with the council panel to do whatever we need to do to so that it can be accommodated and, you know, fit the city.
We're willing to change that lot coverage from the 46% to the minimum 45%. That's an easy fix with our architect. And we also have several neighbors here as well that are willing to support us in this building.
Okay. Are there any questions for staff or the applicant? No questions. Okay, I have one question. Right now you're using the drive onto and off of Victory Drive.
Yes, that's how it was when we purchased the home. And we're fine moving all of the parking to the lane. That's not an issue at all. We are actually going to just extend it. We'll just dig up more of the driveway and make that a green space, such as we have wrought iron fencing that we've salvaged. So we'll just make it like a front courtyard all the way across.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Stevens?
Did I hear you correctly? You said that currently you're only at 46% lot coverage?
Yes, 2.5%, and it's, I mean,
okay.
It's.
I just wanted to kind of get an understanding of how much outside of that you are, because that could directly impact all of those other conditions. And I was just trying to figure out if the 45% would essentially be a non-starter because you were 50.
Well, we could, our architect can adjust it to 45%. I mean, that's a minuscule amount. Okay. That's not an issue at all.
I just want to kind of understand the difference. Oh, thank you.
Any other questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, we do have a couple of people to speak. Pat Johnson. If you come up to the microphone and state your name for the record, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Patricia Johnson. I'm the president of Live Oak Neighborhood Association, and I'm going to yield my time to Mrs. Mary Grimm. But we're all in favor of the Futches building there, so we don't have a problem with it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Ann, I'm not going to try and pronounce it. I know that one of these days I'll get it, but I
answer to most anything. Hi, I'm Marianne Goydish. I live at 1240 East Victory Drive, and I have lived in that apartment house for 25 years, so I have seen a lot of the changes. And you worry about the setback. Well, 1231 East 42nd Street has this much difference between its house and the house next door. And it's been there, well, 1229 is at least 70 years old, and this is a cottage. Go further to the 1100 block, 1113, 1113 and a half, 1115. 13 and a half was put in this year, and there is my shoulder width between that and the house on either side. So squeezing houses into lots seems to be in accordance. But more importantly, I think this house is a good addition. We need housing. This is a good addition to the neighborhood. We still, when I moved 25 years ago, every block had at least two or three condemned houses. In 25 years, we still have a condemned house with a condemned garage apartment. Still condemned. And we still have a few that are dicey. To have new, clean housing would be a positive. And to the, and it's not a apartment house. We, Victory Drive has, between Waters and Waters and Ash, quadplex, 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 quadplex. And they're decently maintained, decently kept. This would be a nice single family house. The Futches have been very careful with their property. I watch them garden and take care and move things. And I think if it pleases you to approve this addition. Any questions?
Thank you very much. All right. Any discussion? Entertain a motion.
Motion that we approve staff recommendation. Sorry.
Second.
All right. I have a motion for approval of staff recommendation. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
I too say yes. Motion passes. Thank you. I do want to take a moment to acknowledge Mr. Mackey, too. It's been quite a while since I've seen you. Good to have you here. Thanks. All right. Our next agenda item is 805 East 33rd Street, variance to a general development plan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is our second variance request associated with the creation of non-conforming parcels for single-family home development. In this case, there are variance requests for minimum lot area and relief from interior setbacks required, interior side setbacks. To offer you a view of the zoning map at present, we can see that this is within the TR1, or Traditional Residential Zoning District, which is also within the residential single-family future land use designation. So this is a very clear single-family residential development pattern in this area. Again, to offer you some context, we are near Savannah Classical Academy and the Laundry Diner near Paulson and Anderson. You can see the subject parcel here. The proposed subdivision, which actually is represented by this line right down the middle, we would see, well, and this one also, we would see two new parcels created here, that would be 2,772 square feet apiece. You can see the petitioner does intend to honor the setbacks of the zoning district, but it does create this issue, with the existing residents being left with non-conforming side setbacks, where a minimum of 3 feet is required in order to achieve the 30 feet for each of these two parcels. It leaves one corner here at 2.24 and another one at 2.40 feet, again, where 3 feet is required. And so that's that interior side setback relief that's needed in order to permit this subdivision. Staff has also drawn in the possibility of two ADUs here. Just in looking at the nature of the submittal, it seems ideal that at some point this or a future owner of this property could come in and request to build two ADUs, potentially up to about 17 by 24 based on setbacks. And so with the consideration for lot coverage, this is something that this board would likely want to consider as they consider this particular request. So again, two variances required in association with this subdivision, reduction of the minimum lot area and a reduction of the side setbacks required for the existing dwelling. These are the standards, again, here in the TR1. And with that, staff does recommend approval of these variances with two conditions. The first, that the existing shed on the property be demolished or indicated as to be demolished upon submission of the final plat. And finally, that gutters be installed on the existing and proposed single-family dwellings to divert runoff from adjoining properties. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Is the applicant here?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am, Madam Chair, Josh Yellen representing Vanguard Development. We have with us the owners of that company, Andrew Savage and Ryan Jennings, both of whom are in attendance today. I did just want to pull up this subdivision map because although this is similar to the item that was just heard, it's actually a little bit different. And in fact, it's a little bit more straightforward. The intent here is that we currently have a very large lot that if this home were actually to be demolished, we would not be here asking for a subdivision. We are able to fit three 30-foot wide lots that meet all lot standard requirements under the ordinance, but for the fact that we want to preserve the existing house that's on site. So we could put three houses here by right. We are looking to put three houses here. So that necessitates the need for the variance. What was talked about in the pre-meeting, I do want to address Mr. Stevens' comment, because what we do have is a subdivision plat. We obviously have not come back with drawings and elevations and the standards. But the intent here, we do know that there is that 2.24 lot distance between the existing house that we are intending to preserve and the lot line. Our intent here is then to make up for that buffer in the lot adjacent to it so that they would still maintain the appropriate separation by putting in what we've done previously is put in a no build area adjacent to that site to keep the required fire separation. We're not showing it here because we don't have actual elevations and drawings yet, but we fully agree with the comments that we heard that appropriate separation is required, and we would put that no build area in here so that we maintain that spacing. It's not necessarily a building setback because we don't know if it's concrete yet, but that spacing would be present. And so we did just want to make sure that we answered that because we fully share the concerns regarding fire safety and hazards, and we do want to maintain that separation. It also helps the homes be built in a more affordable manner, not to have the fire ratings. So it's a benefit for everyone here to increase the housing, to do it in a way that's going to be economical and affordable while also maintaining life safety standards. And so we would appreciate your support for this variance request, as has been recommended for approval by staff. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
All right. Are there any questions for Mr. Yellen or staff?
No questions. I do want to just offer up my appreciation for addressing the concern because a just over 2 foot setback is a major concern.
Yes, sir.
Considering the area. I just offer up my thanks for addressing that before we got into long discussion about
it. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes, I just have a question about the ADUs and the possibility of adding those in the future. Do they have any plans to do that, or would they be willing to have this approved with the condition of no addition of ADUs?
So I spoke to the applicant after the pre-meeting and asked them about ADUs. There's not currently any intent to put in any ADUs on this property. Based upon the way that the site is currently laid out, we know that if an ADU were to be requested, we would likely exceed the 40% building coverage, and we'd have to come back and ask for a variance at that point. Currently, we're not asking that. I don't want to tell you, no, never, there will never be any ADUs on this property, because personally, I am in favor of ADUs and increasing them across the city. But currently, no, if we had wanted to ask for that variance now, we would have come in and been transparent about it. No current plans, but I don't know what happens next owner down the road or 2 years down the road. And I wouldn't want to hinder that site from having the opportunity to provide more housing.
Okay, thanks. Yep.
excuse me, I would like to ask a question about the setbacks. In a TN1 or in a traditional neighborhood, 3 foot setbacks is standard, isn't it?
Sorry, I know he has it in the staff report and I'm pretending to be.
We kind of talked about that in the pre-meeting and.
That is correct. Yes.
So what we're doing here isn't completely unusual. The most unusual thing is the fact that the existing building exceeds that 3 foot setback.
That is correct.
It encroaches into. And Mr. Yellen, your intent is to do a no build along that line where the encroachment exists.
So actually the no build would be on the new lot. Is the way that the city surveyor and the city of engineers have traditionally done this, that because we're going to have the 2.24 foot setback from a fire standard when the subdivision plat is recorded, typically we will shade in the area on the opposite property line.
Understood.
That makes up that difference.
Okay.
To make sure that we're not squeezing them in inappropriately.
Okay. Just trying to clarify.
Yes,
Thank
ma'am.
You. All right. Any other questions? Okay,
cool.
There's discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
Cole's motion to approve staff's recommendation with the two included conditions.
Blunk second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
I too say yes. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Next item is 1402 Stiles Avenue, map amendment rezoned from BL to BN.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the board. I'm Subhashi Karunaratna, a planner from Development Services. I'll be presenting the staff findings and recommendations for a rezoning request at 1402 Stiles Avenue. The request is to change the zoning from business limited to neighborhood business. This site here has an area of 0.76 acres, and the building you see here currently exists and is built in 1993. It has an area of 4,000 square feet. Previously, prior to 2005, according to the applicant, this whole building was used as a liquor store, and after 2005, it was used as a convenience store and its storage space. And the proposed use is to incorporate a package store to that existing storage space. And the applicant is also looking forward to add more uses on the site, specifically a laundromat, a restaurant, and a beauty supply store. But that will be down the road in the future. Under the existing zoning designation, both uses, the convenience store and the package store, are non-conforming, and the applicant wishes to rezone so that those two uses become conforming. And when changing the zoning to BN, all the proposed uses are going to be conforming and be buildable in this lot. The parcel is in the Carver Heights neighborhood, and it's fronting Stiles Avenue with a 192 frontage, and on the south of the property is the Springfield Canal, and this unpaved area is an easement for the canal. And further south, you can see the I-16, and here you can see the Unmarked Arena. The Tied to Town Trail also is supposed to run along the canal connecting the park and the and market and arena. The existing zoning is BL, and you can see that this whole stripe is designated as BL. There was a subdivision in 2002 that broke this whole area into three properties, and we are considering this property now. And on the north of the property, there's a RMF 2 to 25 zone properties, and most of the neighborhood is TR2. And on the south, this is a conservation area. And the flume is a commercial neighborhood, and that supports the requested zoning as well as the existing zoning. The proposed BN district permits neighborhood-oriented non-residential uses. It is intended to provide limited commercial opportunities in a walkable environment that is supposed to reduce the impact on the neighborhood, neighboring residential uses. The uses, the convenience store, are limited uses under BN, and the package store would require a special use permit. And the restaurants are permitted to be used and with permission to accessory alcohol sales under this section 8.7. The existing building is conforming by the development standards of BN, except for the rear yard setback. It is on top of the property line, but that is according to SAGES. There's no survey done at this stage. There are additional standards for the limited use in BN, which are the property should be located on a collector or an arterial street, and that is met because the Stiles Avenue is a collector street, and the operation times are supposed to be from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m., and the use shall be you shall not be within 500 yards of another similar use. And here in this aerial map, you can see, again, I-16, the end market, and this is the Cava Heights neighborhood, and this is the Cloverdale neighborhood. If you look at the map, you can see that there's not many convenience stores or access to food or everyday home items in the vicinity. So the convenience store would be an ideal use for this location. However, if the allowed uses that comes with the rezoning are not properly managed at the place, it could be damaging to the neighborhood. With that, the staff recommends approval for the rezoning, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Is the applicant here? Come on up. Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon. My name, do you mind if I move this up? I'm sorry. My name is Parth Patel. I'm here on part of the property owners.
All right. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Sorry, I just had a little
it's okay.
Feel.
Good question.
Okay, perfect. I just wanted to talk about rezoning for 1402 Stiles Avenue from BL to BN. A little about me. I've been born and raised here in Savannah, and I've been in the area near Carver Village since 2004, since my parents bought the land around there and went to school there whenever Oglethorpe Charter School used to be a thing before End Market Arena and all that happened. We were just looking to expand on the current business. So currently there's a convenience store there and most of the businesses walk up from the surrounding area. We do have people coming from Carver Village along with car transportation, obviously, but most of it is walk up or people are biking. So we just wanted to provide extended use to whatever property we do have right now. So just motivations for wanting to rezone. We've had a lot of customers come in. One of the customers that wants to do his barbecue restaurant is why we've decided we wanted to rezone. We didn't realize that we would have to rezone because apparently in 2019, the property was rezoned to BL, to BL, which we weren't notified about. So we were just trying to basically be conforming. That's why we were wanting to apply again. But lacking in the community, there are no restaurants or anything in the area. So based on what we've heard, it would be very positive. We do want to add liquor sales later, but that's not necessarily the main point right now. As long as we could have more uses, that would be the main issue because the laundromat and we have someone that has a beauty supply on White Bluff that wanted to open a branch in Carver Village too. And there we have property available. And I know there is a Cloverdale Community Center meeting. I just wasn't in town. I was at a wedding to go to that, so I wasn't able to. But I went to the Carver Village meeting, and we received support from Reverend Ellis, who's sitting back there also. But based on what we heard, there was positive support towards this. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Is there any questions for the applicant or for staff?
Questions.
Go ahead.
Just out of curiosity, how far is your establishment from the church there on the corner?
We haven't had a survey done, but when I walked there, measured it myself, it was 600 yards.
And what is the requirement there for 1,000 feet, 200 feet?
So that would be 600 yards is about 1,200 feet. Or 1,800 feet.
I just want to make sure y'all were taking that into consideration.
Yeah, well, that was just one of the different options because if it would just be like kind of how Parker's has like their business, they have the convenience store side and then they have a liquor store side. That's what they wanted to do there. But the laundromat and the restaurant would be on the side facing Stiles, closer to it.
Mr. Stevens?
Well, quick question for staff. Is this not even, is this anywhere near the overlay, alcohol overlay area?
No, sir. It's not.
Okay. And petitioner, you were saying that the, so it will stay in the existing building is what I'm understanding?
Yeah, basically the, currently it's 2,500 square feet has been the convenience store, and then the rest, the 1,500 has just been storage, because we used to have another business on Montgomery Crossroads, so all the fixtures and stuff have been in the storage area.
And the uses that you said that have, individuals have shown interest has been hair supply, restaurant, and laundromat. Is that something? Laundromat is the business that you guys will be operating?
Laundromat would be the one that we would be operating if we were approved, but it, there's also a restaurant, beauty supply store, and then also a liquor store.
Okay, because I do have, just full disclosure, I have some concerns with some of the uses that are allowed in this zoning type of, mm-hmm. and that I don't necessarily think adds value to that community as it is currently trying to build itself up. So I have some concerns about that particular zoning typology with that zoning classification and some of the uses allowed.
Yeah, we just wanted, because we want to kind of have it as a shopping center and have different size plots for people to put whatever business they want. This is just what we've been approached with.
Other questions?
You do intend to keep the convenience store?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Ms. Bowles?
Well, just for transparency, we were discussing whether there should be a meeting with Cloverdale, because I know that you front on to a Carver Village Street neighborhood, but you're actually closer to the entrance of Cloverdale. So that was part of what we were discussing.
Yeah, I when I was looking at the application and we looked at the land plotting, it seemed that we were in Carver Village technically. I would have gone to both, but I didn't have time to be able to be at both versus when we applied for the application. So I at least went to Carver Village, which is the one we were technically classified in.
And I guess along the same lines as one of my colleagues, what the feedback might be from the church across the street. Because I know we talk about reaching out to neighborhood associations, but really we're talking about reaching out to communities. So I don't know if you had any conversations with them or even the neighbors that are along Stiles.
We haven't had any conversations specifically with anyone that runs the church. We've had people that come from the church to the store, obviously, whenever they want groceries or lottery or whatever. But we've been asking if this would be a positive thing. And whenever people see the signs outside on the road, they have come in and discussed it, but it's been mostly positive. Thank you.
Thank you. No more questions. All right. I do have two speakers. Chairman Ellis. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let me first begin by making sure that we get the record straight. I'm Reverend Chess Ellis, president of the Historic Neighborhood, Carver Village Neighborhood Association, not chairman. Right? I don't come before you as chairman. I come before you on account of the neighborhood. The Patels have been neighbors of ours for more than 25 years. We are very supportive of what they're trying to do as they came and they talked about. And let me get this to staff now. There is no Carver Heights, not in the state of Georgia. There is no Carver Heights. Please correct your record so that you say Carver Village. Then it's historic Carver Village that has an overlay, all right, that includes this property. Now, some of the things that you may not know is the reestablishment of even the liquor license. One of the neighbors who lived in Cloverdale, used to operate this as a liquor store for more than 15 or 20 years, right, before he got sick and it shut down. But the property always belonged to the Patels, okay? And then as it comes to the church, okay, is far enough from the church that in the past, the liquor store have been granted license and sold liquor there, right? Even to our objections when he started to open up on Sundays, right? So all that's been cleared. What I really would like for you to know from the neighborhood association is that it's bringing back some of the things we lost, all right, in the transition from the old neighborhood. I've been there more than 50 plus years in the same neighborhood, in the same house. And this we see as an asset. And just north of this property, the building still stands, but the history is there, but only the neighborhood know about the history. I'm talking about a place where it was a bar and a club, where Duke Ellington played, Ella Fitzgerald sang, all right? Lionel played there, and I can go on and on with all Louis Armstrong and the rest, all right? Once upon a time, we used to call it Baker's Pool Hall, all right? This property is just down the street. Some of the things that we've lost is the fish market, the laundromats, all right? Beside the laundromats, we also had dry cleaning, and we had, in fact, kin to Mr. Irvin, we had Irvin's supermarket in the neighborhood. So as we talk to reestablishing Carver Village, we talk to all our neighbors and we talk to all of them about reestablishing businesses that have been there, all right? None of us knew about the change of the zoning back in 2019, and you know, now I've been president of the Neighborhood Association since 2010 and never knew anything about zoning changing, and that's why when the Patels brought it to us, I questioned them as to why that happened and how that happened, and the neighborhood didn't know anything about it. So I urge you, as we configure the neighborhood to bring it back up to where it used to be, this is one that we are definitely in support of being in a neighborhood, okay? And so I ask you to go along with the staff, but just correct them in there saying there is no Carver Heights. Carver Village, please. Now I answer any questions that anybody want to ask.
All right, thank you. Anybody have any questions for Reverend Ellis?
So I just want to be clear.
Sure.
The difference is some of the uses that have been proposed is the biggest difference between what's already there, because quite a few of the uses in the business limited zoning type is same in the BN.
Right.
But there are a couple of differences. Is the primary driving force of the BN, what use is it that they're trying to achieve and not adhering to the BL versus the BN?
Right.
May not necessarily be a question for you, but that's right. Just a question that I do have.
Well, it's a question I can answer. All right, having been doing there. Like, for instance, one of the potential clients that they have that I talked to wants to bring a beauty and supply store, cosmetics. All right. We used to have five or six beauty parlors, as we call them in my days. All right. Beauty shop in some of y'all days that were in the neighborhood. This helps bring that back because there is a need in the neighborhood for that to be in walking distance. This is in walking distance. There used to be a fish market. Okay. So when they talk about the market being there and being able to, we've lost the big box, what we call grocery store. Okay. But the convenience store that they have help those neighbors who don't have the transportation. They can actually get on the dot and come from the back of the neighborhood to the front of the neighborhood, get off on Stiles Avenue across the street, do their business, and get back on the dot and go back home. All right. So those are the kinds of things that we look at that's coming to the neighborhood as it help us with those who don't have that kind of the public transportation that comes out of Carver Village and goes into Cloverdale, which is the dot. They have an opportunity to go back and forth to the convenience store, to the I know many of you won't remember or don't know that there used to be a barbecue pit back in there. So bringing back barbecue into the neighborhood is something that already was there, but now is back with their plans that we saw. And that's why we are very much in the affirmative of this plan.
Thank you. Mr. Stevens, are there uses in particular that you think might not be suitable there that you'd like to ask about?
I'm going through the list now.
Mm-hmm. Reverend Ellis, are there uses there that you would not want to see happen?
There came none up at the community meeting where we discussed this in detail. All right. And we discussed the plans. There were no uses that were part of the plans that they presented to us that had not been there before. All right. I think that's the best way to, rather than going block by block, neighbor by neighbor, you know, if they come with the laundromat, a laundromat was there before. If you go on the corner of Bowden and Gwinnett, there was a laundromat there. Just adjacent to that, on Gwinnett Street itself, which is now a coffee shop, that used to be the dry cleaners. Mm-hmm. All right. And then on the corner used to be Mr. Johnny's convenience store that used to be there. And so these are things we know. All right. And so when we looked at their plans and what they planned to do, nothing was out of what has already been there that was prosperous before the owners died and the children didn't want to carry on the business.
If they were to sell it, other people would be able to come in and use that property with BN uses.
As long as they conform to what's being agreed to now, then we don't have a problem. Because what we see that as an enhancement to the neighborhood.
So that's my concern.
Okay.
I hear, so the issue is this zoning goes with the property.
Right.
And the only way this zoning does not go with the property is if we offer up some type of a special use that is specific to the business itself. And with that, they may have all the best intentions in the world, but if they get out of this business, mm-hmm. the next person that owns this property has the rights to the property zoning. And they could, by right at that point, do whatever is in that classification.
Right.
And that's where the concern comes in place for me. Like a lot of the uses of the retail type functions, the laundromat type functions, all of that is in this current zoning. In the limited business.
What I can say,
and I hear you. Like, yeah. You know, this is my stomping grounds too.
All right.
So I have a genuine concern about how it goes forward, and I don't argue or disagree with the idea that some of these businesses were there. But I also take a position that some of these businesses were not necessarily in the good of the neighborhood either. Now, but there were some that were. I won't argue that. But again, my biggest concern is as this property moves forward, this zoning is for the property and for the life of it, unless somebody comes back and rezones it. So I can't sit down and take up the entire meeting trying to go through and check off on each line item as to what I would have issue with or think the community would have issue with. But there are some uses in the BN that are in the BL, which are being presented as the approach that they would like to take. So I'm not understanding the rezoning.
All right. And here's what I can answer and say to you. And probably that's a conversation you need to have with the city manager and their staff. All right. As to what they do. There is plans now to develop the Springfield Canal and the Springfield Canal Basin. All right. And a lot of the things that you were talking about, all right, the retail and others are going to be in that Springfield Canal Basin. If you look at the map, Springfield swings just east of their, just east of their property and then swing back towards Cloverdale and then go over into Bowles Ford. And so with all the plans of the development of the Springfield Canal, the Canal District or whichever name they want to call it by, some of these things are going to play a part of that. So, you know, I wish I had a crystal ball, but I don't. But the Patels have owned this for 25 plus years. All right. If they decide to sell it somewhere down the line, then we won't have to deal with down the line. But we're talking about right now. I can talk about plans that I've seen in the development of the Springfield Canal, which runs just east of this property, right on the side of it that comes around. But I don't know what's going to happen with the Springfield Canal, except the widening and the deepening of it and then the development of it that we know are in years to come. We may be talking about 30 years from now. We may be talking about 50 years from now. I don't know. I don't have a ball to say that, but I can say we are very much in support of what the Patels have told us that they're going to do with that property. And then we have to deal with future property owners down the line.
Okay.
You have a comment?
I have a question for staff, and I think that it kind of gets to what you're both saying. Is there something, is there a use that's proposed that's only in BN and not in BL? So, and therefore, that's why we need the BN.
Yes, ma'am. The convenience store, the package store, and the restaurant is only allowed in BN and not in BL.
I think you did mention that. Thank you.
Ms. Wilson, did you have something you wanted to add?
I was just going to suggest that if you have some concerns with regards to the uses, then you very well may support the application and limit the uses. And if they want to add additional uses, they have to go back through a public process, and that way the community knows that there's going to be a change. So if you decide that you want to do that, you do have that as an option. And if they are wanting to do the convenience store as an added use, the package store, if that's something that the community is okay with, and the other use, then you could limit it to retail, and, you know, two or three other things.
All right,
thank you.
Is it?
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Ellis. And Mr. Mackey?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I'm Timothy Mackey. Right now, just a regular old person. And it's good to see all of you.
Good to see you,
Madam Chair. And to all of you on the board, thank God for what you do. My main man, Joe, Mike, everybody. God bless y'all. And to staff. I'm here today to speak on this petition. And there aren't many times in my life that I've been opposed to something that my good friend, Coach, Reverend, County Commission Chairman, he served a multifaceted list of hats over the years, and I respect all of that. We respect that. But getting to the petition, the first thing I'd like to address is the gentleman, Mr. Parth Patel, came and said that the church was 600 yards from that property. Now, all of you watch football. The football field is 100 yards. 600 yards. That is six San Francisco 49ers stadiums. Back to back to back to back to back to back to back. That would be from Stiles past Louisville Road, past the railroad, almost to Bay Street. Trust me. So maybe he needs to correct that statement. He said it. I'm just quoting you what he said. He said 600 yards. That is not the case. Okay. Madam Chair, if I may, on the rezoning map application, I just have a couple of questions for you, or maybe for staff. Okay. No, I want to use it. I'm going to let you use it. I've seen this clip up many people. I'm going here. I don't know if they can see it. Okay. Maybe you can stand here.
Yeah, that's fine.
On number 5, on page 2 of 8, it has the property owner information at the bottom of the page. It says Hitendra Patel and Deepika Patel, if I'm pronouncing the name correctly. I pray to God I am. And I won't call out the address. But that's what it says at the bottom of the page. On page 3 of 8, item number 6, it says Parth Patel. Now, my question is Parth Patel the registered agent? Because if it is, it's not signed. It's not signed. And it says agent on number 7, agent if different from petitioner or property owner. All right, that's empty. All right, let's go to the next page, 4 of 8. Item 8, the letter of authorization. It says Parth Patel. No signature. No signature. Okay. On the bottom, the witness signature certificate, not notarized. Not notarized. Okay. Now, when you get to item 11, 10, 11, 12, that will be item 12 on 6 of 8, certified application. There's a signature of Parth Patel. Now, let me be clear. It says that I acknowledge that I understand and I have completed with all the submittal requirements and procedures, and that this application is a complete application submittal. Now, I submit to you as this board that it is, this is not a complete document. Now, maybe if I'm wrong, I can accept wrong. I've been wrong many times, and Mama corrected me real good. So I don't have a problem with that. Just correct me. I'm good with that. But as far as what I see on this application, there are no signatures. Now, unless something has changed, to me, and I guess I better not be the judge, I'm just asking if this is an incomplete application without the signatures, without the notarization on three items, four items of this very important statement. Now, it gives three different names. Itendra Patel, Dipika Patel. Then it goes on to say Parth Patel. Now, it's kind of unclear as who's who. But Parth Patel comes back, like I said, on page 6 of 8, and signs the document. That's the one thing. So can I ask that? Can anybody answer that? Why that's not signed? Why those items are not signed? Because this, right now, is incomplete. And I submit to you it's incomplete. No signatures. Nothing. No certificate. Nothing. Why was it left unsigned? Okay. The other thing, I'd like to get that question answered at some point before I leave. The question was asked about the church. You've got two churches on that street. You've got Garvin Temple, and you've got, there's another church to the north of it. The big parking lot on the corner of Gwinnett. Emmanuel, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Okay. Now, I went out in the street last night, 2 o'clock in the morning, because I didn't sleep all night. Sometimes I go through those spells. South Avenue is 10 feet, 8 inches on each side, left and right. So that's roughly 21.6 feet. Okay. He says he's 600 yards. From the church. I submit to you that's an incorrect statement, mathematically. Maybe he got excited. I don't know. This microphone will do it to you. But 600 yards is an incorrect statement, and it's made to you as a board that has to vote on this. That is an incorrect statement. It is not 600 yards. 600 yards will take us from here to River Street. That's 6 football stadiums. So I don't know. I don't know. Now, all of you have been down Bull Street. Now, I am no way equating this, but I'm just telling you what it looks like. Bull Street, 40th and 39th, where there's a liquor store across the street. The folks are coming across the street and sleeping on the street, and the folks have to step over them to come up the street. Now, I'm not saying that's the case, and I'm not saying it's going to be the case, but that's a worst-case scenario. They're not in front of the liquor store, but they're housed across the street. We don't want it. We don't want it. Now, I understand, Sir President, he's correct. He represents Carver Village very well, always has, even when he wasn't president. But there's 636-plus homes in Cloverdale, 636 on the minimum. Now, I just wish that Cloverdale was notified. They respected to be notified. Many, many people live in Cloverdale that would attend that meeting. I didn't know, I was unaware of the meeting at Carver Village because I would have attended had I known. But it was, I understand how they directed it that way, but Cloverdale should have been notified. There should have been a meeting with Cloverdale, and that could have been a joint meeting, actually, with Cloverdale and Carver Village, had we known about it. But there wasn't. So I'm asking. Now, I heard the director say something just now, which you have the option of doing, but you also have the option of continuing this petition.
We do.
You have that option. Let's be clear. You have that option. Okay, so until just little old me, someone can tell me why this application is incomplete to that degree. There are no signatures on 3 blank spaces.
We got it.
No stamps, no anything. And I'll leave that one alone. The rest of the questions that I'll have, I'll bring it to City Council. Thank you.
I see that the staff is trying to get us a distance.
Sorry.
Madam Chair.
I'm out.
Ms. Well, Wilson. Go ahead.
I don't think that anyone on the board is questioning whether or not, you know, a beauty salon and a laundromat and a convenience store and other retail places such as that would be great for the neighborhood. I think it's other uses that the zoning, if approved, would be of concern. I also think that the fact that Cloverdale wasn't consulted or asked about is another concern. The incomplete application is another concern. So I'm just wondering if maybe that this should be continued until the application is complete, until Cloverdale is consulted, and also to where this board has a little bit of time to go through the uses in the new zoning so that we might make a recommendation for approval based on excluding certain uses that might not be the best for that neighborhood.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson. We did, Ms. Helms brought up a complete signature sheet for us. I think we need to give the applicant an opportunity to respond to the comments, and then we can get some discussion going. Come on up if you'd like to respond. Please state your name again.
All right. Parth Patel. And I was just a petitioner because my parents weren't able to come. Regarding the 600 yards, I misspoke. I should have said 600 feet, so I apologize for that. And we did send in a signed application, but when I submitted, they said I needed to resend it in. So that was regarding that. And regarding the different classification for the restaurants that we wanted to build, that wouldn't be able to do that under the current zoning. And then the convenience store that exists right now that's been there for 20 years would not be conforming either under current. So that would be the main reason.
Thank you.
And regarding the uses or if it's ever going to be sold the day I die or the day my kids die is when it will be sold. So I don't anticipate that happening anytime soon.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Mr. Irvin.
Let me address the gorilla in the room. It's the liquor store. It's the liquor store. You know, I live in Cloverdale.
And there's an arena down the street, too, that has liquor sales.
And I got that. Got a liquor store on 52nd and Ogeechee. Got that. I'm concerned about the liquor store. There used to be a dram, little shot house back there in Carver Village back in the day. My daddy used to go to it, Chairman. And I sit in the back seat of the car. So I know. I think the board is having a problem with just the liquor store aspect of this. I think as far as commerce goes, Chairman Ellis, President Ellis is correct. There was my dad had a convenience store. My brother had a convenience store. There's another convenience store on West Gwinnett. There used to be a laundromat around the corner. Yes. And that was the hub of Carver Village. It was a hub. It's where businesses were. And I would love to see that return. We are left now with Brother Shepherd's establishment on the corner of West Gwinnett and Styles because we've lost the Jackson Brothers because of the arena. I would love to see development of that area to where it comes back to where it once was. The residents, a lot of the residents over there actually still either walking on bicycles over there. I see them all the time when I'm leaving the house to come into the office. So having said that, I think that is the concern that I'm hearing, the unmentioned concern that I'm hearing from my colleagues here is the liquor store. That seems to be one of the impediments, but I didn't want to get that out because I know we've been kind of walking around it. But overall, I do agree with former Chairman Mackey's position and Reverend Ellis' position that there should be development. I think the development needs to be narrowed in scope, because in my humble opinion, at this point, Carver Village is rebounding. We've got an overlay in Carver Village. Cloverdale doesn't have an overlay, and Cloverdale desperately needs one. But the area is currently developing, and it is starting to slowly get a foothold where it's coming back. And I'm happy to see that, because I see a new influx of residents coming into Cloverdale. And if my prediction is right, Brother Mackey, Cloverdale and Brother Stevens, Cloverdale is going to be completely different in the next 10 years from the way it looks right now. Completely different. It is the only subdivision within our community that has a park across the street. It has two schools. It has a community center, and it is downtown.
And a library.
Mm-hmm. So we're grappling with this concept of where we are now and looking into a crystal ball, thinking where this neighborhood is going to go in the next 10 years and making sure that we make the right decision for the neighborhood. And I cede my time.
Thanks, Mr. Irvin. Mr. Melder?
Would it be possible, this is a question for staff, would it be possible if the alcohol sales component were the issue, I think Mr. Irvin's right, if we could amend the zoning to make that a special use?
In fact, that's what I was going to say is okay. That I know everybody's focusing on the alcohol, but take a little bit step back. They still have to go through a public process to get a special use permit to get for a liquor store, and they have to come back to council to get a permit for a liquor store.
So
there's multiple okay. public hearings that would have to take place before alcohol is introduced.
So it is already a special use.
It's already a special use.
So the action that the board could take if it was concerned about the alcohol use would be to strike that use from the use table condition.
Well, and remember, there's different types of alcohol licenses. You could say, well, you know, it's a convenience store, so you could sell beer and wine, but it can't be a package store. And that might be more palatable because usually you don't kind of equate having a lot of bad things with having, you know, beer and wine, which you have at a lot of convenience stores. So there's different types of alcohol licenses, but as a special use permit, the board can say no. And if you were concerned about it being a packaged store, then that might be a use that you say, you know, we don't have a problem with beer and wine, but we do have some concerns about a packaged store.
Well, some of my concerns are the uses. I mean, the uses are certainly one of the things that's a concern. And the liquor store is definitely one of those uses that is a concern. But there are others that may be a concern as well, body art, that type of thing. In addition, the fact that, yes, body art, hospice,
funeral parlor.
Tour company terminal, those types of things I don't think we would want to see at that location. But in addition to that, the fact that Cloverdale has not had an opportunity to weigh in is of major concern to me. And I'm just kind of leaning that maybe the applicant needs to hold off this meeting to the next meeting, and we can come back and look at it a little bit more clearly with guidance from staff and guidance from the adjacent community from Cloverdale, and let's have buy-in from everybody.
If I may, I would add and echo that sentiment, because Cloverdale's community, that Civic Improvement Association is very active. I mean, they're older, but they are very active. So they would absolutely have a position on that. I am there at almost every meeting, so I'm fully aware of how active they are, and they don't mind offering up understanding of what is going on in that community, nor do they mind hearing a position to say, hey, maybe this is something we should consider. So with that I further echo Madam Chairman's position.
Ms. Bowles.
I just wanted to add that I've had multiple meetings with the community, both Cloverdale and Carver Village, and some of the uses, it's not just the BN versus BL, but even some of the uses that are proposed, I have not heard that anyone ask for anything except the restaurant. And so it would be interesting to see what Cloverdale would have to say, because you've already been to Carver Village, but they always ask for a grocery store. They always, there are a number of things they always ask for, but I have not heard some of the uses that you propose. So it'd be interesting to have them weigh in.
Any other discussion? Ms. Wilson, would you like to restate your motion now? I know. Okay. We may add friendly amendment to it.
Let's see. I would like to make the motion that the application be continued until
July 15th.
I'm sorry?
July 15th.
Yeah, July 15th.
Mr. Stevens, or anybody like to make a friendly amendment to that motion to include certain items that the applicant should probably pursue? If not, I can do that. Go ahead. Mr. Notrika?
I was just going to second the motion.
Okay. If I can make a friendly amendment to address any issues with the application, address the uses that are permitted in BN and what we would want and what we wouldn't want there, as well as meeting with the Cloverdale neighborhood.
To that, and probably the church. And to that point, okay. those different sets of parties, they would be able to speak more to what is actually desired from the community and what is not, and what would be a nuisance versus what it wouldn't. So I just wanted to add that to your point. That is, wanted to get misconstrued that is of the desire of what this particular body wants. It's more so when she says we want, it means community.
Yes.
I accept.
I accept.
All right, cool. Okay, we have a motion with an amendment on the floor. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder? Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
I too say yes. Motion passes. Thank you. I think that was good. We did a good job with that one. Thank you, guys.
Madam Chair and the members of the board, I'm Subhashi Karunaratna again. I will be presenting items number 15 and 16 together because they are of the same property, asking for a flume amendment and a rezoning. The flume amendment is to change the traditional neighborhood designation to traditional commercial, and the rezoning is to change the TN2 zoning district to TC1. The property here has a lot area of 0.15 acres, and as you can see, it has a triangular shape in the rear because of this railway line, and it fronts the East 38th Street with 60 feet frontage, and on the east there's Habersham Street. And on the west, there is a contributing single-family residential house right here. Prior to 2020, this was the building that was there on the property, and it was demolished somewhere in the late 2020. And this was built in early 1900s, and it used to be a multifamily residential structure. On the vacant property, before I go to that, this is the zoning map and the flume, and you can see that majority of the neighborhood is in TN2 zoning district, and there are some TC zone parcels along Habersham and other streets. And the existing future land use is majority traditional neighborhood, but there are some traditional commercial parcels along the streets again. The proposed development is going to be three-storied mixed-use structure with five residential units on the upper stories. There will be a small restaurant on the ground floor, and that's going to be about 1,000 square feet in the footprint. On this conceptual plan, you can see the that restaurant right here, down here, and the rest of the area is supposed to be parking for the residential units. There are two access points from Habersham and East 38th. Since the restaurant is smaller, 1,000 square feet, and is more than 3,000 square feet, according to the Victorian and Streetcar Parking District, this does not require any off-street parking. And since the, the proposed building would require two setback variances, one for the rear yard, 20 feet from that, and one for the side yard, 5 feet. The requested TC1 zoning district is intended to ensure vibrancy of the historic mixed-use neighborhoods, and the existing zoning, which is TN2, also allows the proposed uses of the restaurant and upper store residential. But since the shape of the lot is not very common, and it's really hard to fit this conceptual design on this property, the applicant wishes to rezone to TC1. That will give him more room to fit this building footprint, which is going to be 4,950 square feet. If they are to be in the TN2, the maximum they can reach is 4,280 square feet. And the proposed TC1 rezoning will support the mixed-use development, and the project will contribute for more housing and a pedestrian friendly commercial node, especially because Habersham is a bike and pedestrian friendly street. Based on that, the staff recommends the flume and rezoning to be approved. Thank you.
Thank you. See the applicant here.
Yes, ma'am. Josh Yellen here today representing Stoetswald Group. They own the property. Along with us, we have the principal from Stoetswald, Mr. Andrew Wanamaker, along with the project architect, Jerome Elder. I do want to, I guess I will talk about both petitions hand in hand, if that's okay. I think that the future land use map is relatively straightforward, and we do thank staff for the work on this petition. But up and down Habersham Street, as you can see from this image, is the one I wanted to highlight, even though we're not going pretty far south. This is a mixed-use corridor. Just like every other north-south street in the Victorian District, in the Mid-City District, we see commercial uses along with residential uses. Here is the subject property. We have the convenience store across the street. We have Nairobi's right here. Cotton and Rye is right here. The large residential development that's adjacent to Plant Street and the train tracks is here. Sweet Patricia's Bakery, which y'all just approved the special use approval for, I want to say last month, is on this block. To the south, we have Green Truck Pub. We have the auto mechanic shop. We have the dental offices. This is a true mixed-use corridor. With
pointer's not working.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'm talking to myself then. But y'all are aware of Savannah, and y'all know the businesses in Savannah that are all within the area of this site. But I was pointing out some of the larger uses. This is the new residential use. This is the SCAD building. Then we have the housing and housing here from Sisters Court, along with the School of Dance, and then the restaurants that were cited further south on Habersham, along with the convenience store across the street. It was brought up in both the staff report and in the pre-meeting that, yes, there was an existing structure on this house. We believe it was a five-unit apartment, at least according to the 1955 Sanborn maps. It was built as an apartment. We did not own it when it was demolished. That was done pursuant to a court order. And yes, it was in 2020 where the prior owner of the property petitioned the court and the court approved of the demolition of that site. It was very controversial at the time. You can see all of the letters from all over the city who were against it. We were not involved in that project, but this site and the site across the street, you know, have both been cleared and both have had the for sale signs up on them for a long time. The new owner of the property is obviously looking to redevelop. And as we look to redevelop, as y'all can see, and as was mentioned, there are site constraints, mainly that we are immediately adjacent to a railroad track, which, as Jerome, the project architect, can discuss, makes it very hard to go through the development standards and the city's ordinance and figure out, is that a right-of-way? Is it not a right-of-way? Where is the front yard of this building? Where is the side yard? Where is the rear yard? How do we orient this? But also furthermore, as someone who also lives pretty close to this adjacent track, there is some benefit to having a large building that buffers the sound from other property owners. I am near the new SCAD development that is coming in further down Ball Street. I will be delighted when that is there. And so my kid's bedroom will not shake at night when the train passes. Similar to this, there's a benefit to putting a larger building on these properties. They make it very difficult to develop this as a single family home, or maybe easy to develop as a single family home, hard to sell a single family home immediately adjacent to the tracks. But as was mentioned, we are looking for relief from the development standards. I know that you saw in the packet that there were letters that came in. I do want to clarify that there were actually three letters that came in. There was one letter that was against it based upon the uses under the TC1. I see the chairwoman has held up in her hand that we do actually have a letter of support from the Thomas Square Neighborhood Association. Jerome was very active. He has attended the meeting. He reached out to the board. We presented this project, and the TSNA, the Neighborhood Association, is in support of this project, and that's now included in the file. The third letter is also in support from Jason Combs, previous president of the Thomas Square Neighborhood Association, who you can't quite see his house on this, but he is very close on this map and is an adjacent resident who supports the project. And so we are here today to ask for your support of this rezoning to TC1. We see TC1 properties located up and down every single north-south arterial in the city of Savannah. This rezoning is in keeping with what we believe is the future land use map, or although it needs to be amended, the comp plan, I should say, for mixed-use corridors, particularly within the Mid-City District. And so we appreciate staff's recommendation of approval, and we are happy to answer any questions that y'all might have related to this petition. So thank y'all. And I will, if Jerome would like to talk as well about the layout, I know that he is here. I know that he's proud of the design. And so when you have the architect here, I'll let them talk. So thank you.
Thanks. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jerome Aldo at JL The Studio. And firstly, I'd like to thank not just Josh, but also Ed and Sebastian, because they've been working a lot with us back and forth as we're trying to figure out the site. It's been a couple of months of us going back and forth to figure out what we can best do to utilize this lot. Andrew has been and is a current resident of Savannah and a business owner as well. And I think what may have been mentioned is he's looking at getting a second location for his restaurant, which some of y'all may be familiar with. It's Sputnik, which is on the west side of Broughton Street. Doing one there. Again, I think Josh did express all the various reasons as to why we landed at the site plan that you see. For us, what the design itself on the exterior is still in process, so we'll obviously be having to go to the historic portion of it for getting that approval. And it's still early concept, but what we needed to do is get to the point where we have the ability to develop the land in this way, because this is what we are hoping to achieve. I think looking at the corridor, looking at future development, looking at projects that exist in my office, we're seeing a lot of activity in the redevelopment of many vacant lots, as well as lots with either very dilapidated properties or underutilized properties. And I think this is a strong example of a way that something can be brought to this corridor and continue to help with the activation. So all I have, but if you have any questions, please let me know. I think the three of us are here and willing to answer any further questions you may have.
Any questions for the applicant or staff? Nothing? All right, any discussion? Go ahead.
Call this motion.
Excuse me. Oh, my bad.
Is there?
There is a public speaker.
There's someone online?
Catherine Larson.
All right. Okay. I don't have a name, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. I live at 415 Siler Avenue, and I was wondering if you have plans for that lot across.
Name for the record, please. I'm sorry. State your name for the record, please.
Okay. Catherine C. Larson, L-A-R-S-O-N.
Thank you.
I live at 415 Siler Avenue, right down the street or around the corner, and I'm concerned about the vacant lot across the street. Is that going to be parking, or is that going to be left undeveloped?
That's not part of this application.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any other people online? No blue cards. Okay,
no,
thank
ma'am.
You.
Cole's motion to approve staff's recommendation for both the flume and the rezoning.
All right. Yes.
Sorry. Cole's motion to approve staff's recommendation, which is the first one?
Future land use.
For the future land use map.
All right. Second. I have a motion and a second on the floor. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Milder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
I too say yes. And motion passes.
Cole's motion to approve the rezone.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second on the floor. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
I too say yes. Motion passes.
Point of clarification, if I may.
Yes.
Are you including the plan that came with the application as part of the rezoning?
We did not.
We were just doing a clean motion to approve the recommendation.
Okay, I just
of staff.
Wanted to make sure, since I know there was some discussion about it in the pre-meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. We are done, aren't we? All right. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move, Coles.
All in favor?
Aye.
Hold on, before you all leave, I wanted to introduce one of our new staff members, Rohan. Stand up, Rohan. He's a Georgia Tech architect, and will be working with us on the comp plan, as well as some historic preservation and design stuff and with current planning. So hopefully we'll have additional visual stuff as we get our applications ready for presentation. So. Welcome
Hi.
In.
What's your name again?
Rohan.
I'm Rohan. And Hi. It's an honor to see you all. I've been watching a lot of videos of all the meetings that's been happening. And it's almost
Boring.
Like a celebrity moment for me to see all of you in person. So I'm
Thank
looking
you.
Forward to many more of these.
Looking forward to having you.